Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a schus for Rachel Leah Bat Chaya Devora, Zara Shel Kayama, and for Asramina, Zara Shel Kayama, and for Rabbi Ephraim Abin Miriam Shoshana, Rachel Bat Tzlach B'Chomase Yadav, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yamin, Mitishna Rachel Leah, Rachel Bat Tzlach B'Chomase Yadav, and Rabbi David Shukwala Ben Rachel, Rachel Bat Tzlach B'Chomase Yadav, Abigail Ben Momes for Miriam, Rafua Shleima B'Soich Sha'ar Chole Yisrael. The topic of the shir is when does the mami become the mami? A very, very interesting topic based on a shir delivered by Rav Ariyav Ozer Shlita Hagon, the Rosh Hashiva of Itri in Har Nof in the year Tavshin Ayin Aleph and Shabbos Parshas Vayigash as recorded by Rav Yosef Ben Arza. The pasuk says that the son of Shimon was Shaul ben Haknanis, and who's this Knanis? Dina that had Bia also with a Kenani that was Nevelis leKenani. So the mother of Shaul, the son of Shimon, was Dina. Now the problem with that is that Dina and Shimon were brother and sister. So how did Dina and Shimon have a child together named Shaul when Dina and Shimon were brother and sister? And Judaism doesn't really like brothers and sisters getting married. That's a problem. So the Mefarshim deal with this. One answer given is that Dina really started in the stomach of Rachel, and Yosef started in the womb, I should say better, of Leah. And Leah davened that Rachel should not be less than the Shvachos by having two sons. And therefore the Ubrim were switched around. Yosef was put in the womb of Rachel, and Dina in the womb of Leah. And therefore Dina is not the sister of Shimon from the mother. They have a different mother, because she started in the womb of Rachel, and therefore she was mutter to him, because Bnei Noach are not muzhar on being with a sibling from the father, only a sibling from the mother. And Dina, who started in the womb of Rachel, was therefore only the sister of Shimon from the father, from Yaakov, but not from the mother, because the mother of Shimon was Leah, and the mother of Dina, since Dina started in the womb of Rachel, was Rachel. So answered the Bali Atosis and the Moshe Zakenim, and so answered the Tur. So they are understanding Lichora that the creation of the fetus is what determines who the mother is, and not the birth, because the birth of Shimon and Dina came from the same mother. Nevertheless, they are not considered siblings from the mother, since they were originally created. There, we'll call them the biological mothers. Biological meaning that was the first where they began, were different. For Dina it was Rachel, and for Shimon it was Leah. Now this is a very big nafkamina, who is considered the mother, the biological mother or the birth mother, because today we have surrogate motherhood, where you implant the egg of a mother of one woman into the womb of a different woman, and then the baby grows in the womb of the second woman. Who is the mother? There's a lot of discussion about this in the poskim. There are articles primarily in journals like Asya, which is a medical halachic journal, very interesting journal, and as well in the journal Tchumen, there's a very seminal article on the topic by Hagon Rabbi Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, and in the same issue by Rav Kil Av, and there's a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer. There's a lot of discussion about this question. We're going to take less of a halacha lemaisa approach, more of a lamtisha approach, as to determine when is motherhood determined. By the Yetzira, by the original formation of the child, or the birth of the child? Who is the correct mother? And obviously the nafkamina would be who this child can marry, because if the mother is the Yetzira mother, then the child is then usher to all of that woman's other children. If it's the Leda mother, then the child is usher to all of those children and mutter to the other one, to the Yetzira mother. So the problem with this das, so das akenim, the Balei Atosis and the Moshe Zakenim and the Tur are holding that Shas HaYetzira is Koveh, and therefore Dina and Shimon had different mothers. However, we have problems because we have Psukim that Dina is the daughter of Leah and Yosef is the son of Rachel. So it's clear that the birthing mother is the correct mother. That's why Dina is called the daughter of Leah and Yosef the son of Rachel. According to what they're saying, it's Fakert. Dina is Bas Rachel and Yosef is Ben Leah, because motherhood is determined by the Yetzira, by the original formation. We also have to understand the Teretz Mineube. If the Koveya is the Yetzira, if what determines who the mother is the Yetzira, and therefore Shimon was mutter to marry Dina, so what did it help that the fetuses were switched in the wombs? So you said Beseder. So Dina started in Rachel, and therefore she's mutter to Shimon, whose mother is clearly Leah. But if we're assuming that what's Koveya is the Yetzira, then self, Rachel doesn't have two sons. What do we want? We wanted, why did Leah daven so that Rachel should have a second son? But it's not going to help now, because in the end, what are we saying? Who's really Rachel's child? Dina, because Shas HaYetzira is Koveya, that's why she's mutter to Shimon. So Rachel didn't get her second son. So how did it help then to switch the fetuses? So therefore it seems that what's Koveya is really the Leda, and therefore Dina is Bas Leah, and Yosef is Ben Rachel, even though they were switched around, but still we go by the birth. And since we go by the birth, then it makes sense that now Rachel is going to be happy because Yosef is genuinely her son. I mean, one can answer Pashat that Rachel didn't necessarily get into the Lamdus. Rachel wanted to mother a baby boy. She wanted to give birth to a baby boy, raise a baby boy. So even though halachically she wasn't officially his mother, because Shas HaYetzira is Koveh, and Mishas HaYetzira it was Dina, not Yosef. But at the end of the day, she was happy that she was able to raise this. She's as a mother, she's giving birth to and raising this child, even though strictly halachically speaking, lamdus, it wasn't her child. But we want everything to be miyushav also al pi halacha. That al pi halacha, we want that Yosef should be the son of Rachel. So we could say Pasha Yosef is the son of Rachel, Dina is the daughter of Leah, and then of course we get back to our original question: if Dina is really the daughter of Leah, and therefore Rachel got her second son, then how is Dina allowed to marry Shimon? They have the same mother and the same father. And that brings us back to our original question. Al Kopanim, the Teretz of the Moshe Zakenim, the Tur, needs greater understanding how they're claiming that the Shas Yetzira is Koveya, when it seems to go against Mefurish Psukim. The Psukim, it says that Dina is Bas Leah, and not that Dina is Bas Rachel. According to the Moshe Zakenim, the Tur, Dina is Be'etzim Bas Rachel, and that's what was Mati her to Shimon. So besides this Kasha, we can also prove from an Ofenes Sugya, from an explicit Sugya, we can prove that the mother of the child is the birthing mother. We say in Yevamos, this is really the sugya, the most primary sugya that everybody who is osek in this inyan deals with. It says that if you have two twin brothers who are geirim, they were conceived shelo bikdusha, and they were born bikdusha. They were conceived as goyim, and they were born as Jews. So the halacha is that they are chayav mishum eshes och. They are not allowed to marry each other's wives. So, as far as their mother is concerned, who is considered their mother? The woman who gave birth to them. Since we see that they are brothers, how do we see that they are brothers? Because they are usher in each other's wives, even though the Gemara also says that they're not brothers from the father, and therefore they don't do yibum or chalitza. So out's the father, they're disconnected from the father. They were misgayer, their father's a goy, and they were misgayer in the middle. So their father's a goy, and now they're Jews, they're disconnected from their father. But their mother is really considered their mother, and therefore they're not allowed to marry each other's wives. If one of them gets divorced, they're not allowed to marry the other, or if they're not allowed to marry the other one's wife. Why? So the Achronim learn, the Zecher Yitzhak or Itzel Aponovich and others, that we follow the birth and not the Shas Hayetzira. They were both born to a Jewish mother, and therefore they are considered brothers from the mother, because they were born of a Jewish mother. If we go after the Yetzirah, the original formation, the Yetzirah, so when was their original Yetzirah? When they were Goyim. And then afterwards, when they were Mizgayer, in the fourth month, they were Mizgayer with their mother, they're no longer related. Ger Shenizgayer, Kekotan Shenelad Domi. So why are they considered brothers? If we go after Shas Yetzirah, and they, at the time of Yetzirah they were brothers, but then they converted, they are no longer brothers, and they should be mutter to each other's wives. So we see that it's enough that B'Shas Leida, that at the time of the birth, we determine that they are brothers and that their mother is their mother. At the time of birth we say this is their mother, and Memela, they're brothers. So this is another kasha on the Moshe of Zekanim and the Tur. Moshe of Zekanim supposed to say we should go after Shas Yitzira. Here we see you go after Shas Leid. If you go after Shas Yitzira, then they are going to be mutter to each other's wives. Why? Because they converted from the Shas Yitzira. They converted. They're no longer brothers. For the fact that they're brothers, it must be that the Shas Leida is Kovat, and that's why at the Shas Leida they were born to a nice Jewish woman and they're brothers. So Shalma Yisrael, these two twins, are usher to each other's wives. The Zecher Yitzchak adds a reason that we follow the Leida to be considered Achim and Min Ha'em, that they are considered brothers from the mother, based on the Leida, from the Gemara in Megillah, that the Chalais of the Shem Aim is not like the Chalais of the Shem Av. The Chalos of the Shem Aim, a woman gets her name mother, B'Shas Leida, and not B'Shas Ha'ibur. And therefore, the relationship of the twins to their mother is established at birth, because motherhood is determined at birth and not at the time of pregnancy. And since at that time they were born to a Jewish mother, they are brothers from the mother. What's the raya from Maseches Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel? It says in Megillah about Esther, Ki ein lo av v'aim v'mosa v'yavima. So what does the Gemara ask? Once it says she has no mother and father, what do I need you to tell me that when her mother and father died? Of course, if she has no mother, mother and father died. So Rav Acha says that when her mother became pregnant, her father died. When her mother gave birth to her mother died. So she never had parents. Rashi explains that when her mother was pregnant, her father died, so she never had a father from the time he was roy to be considered a father. When her mother gave birth to her mother died, so she never had a mother from the time she was worthy of being considered a mother. So it's mashman Rashi that the fatherhood is determined at the time of pregnancy, because it says when the moment she became pregnant, her father died, so she never had a father from the time that he was worthy of being called a father. Mashmi is worthy of being called a father at the beginning of pregnancy. But before the pregnancy set in, the father already died. So the fatherhood is determined according to Rashi pregnancy. Because it's, Rashi says, before he was determined to be father at pregnancy, the father died. So it seems that pregnancy, the father is called a father already. The mother is not considered a mother until birth, because Rashi says, when she was worthy of being called mother, her mother already died. Meaning that's Yeladita, at birth, her mother died. And therefore, she was never worthy of being called mother, which means that in pregnancy, she's still not called the mother. She's only called the mother when that child is actually born. So here, the child wasn't born yet, or during the birth, and she wasn't yet considered a mother. Since she wasn't yet considered a mother, that's why the pasuk says that it's double lashon, kein laveim mosav yavima. So the time, according to Rashi, the implication of Rashi is, when is she really karei ima? When is she worthy of being called a mother? She's being worthy of being called a mother b'shas haleda. And since she died at the shas haleda, she was never worthy of being called a mother. Rakopanim, we see b'shas haleda, she's a mother, and not b'shas ha-pregnancy. So this is the chiddush of the Zecher Yitzchak, but the Maharal already says this earlier in the Or Chadash and the Pasuk Ki'ein La'av V'aim, and so discussed at length the Holy Gaon, Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Beis HaOitzer, Aleph Dalid, and others as well. Rabbi Yosef Engel asked, according to this, and Rabbi Kiva Eiger in Yeridea, Pei Zayin on the Shach and Sifkat and Yodalid, who's Mistapek, if the milk of a Trefa is Aser B'Basar B'Chalav, because a Trefa doesn't give birth, Trefa any Oledis, and is not roy to be an aim, and the Iser Basar B'Chalav is only on a someone who is Ru'uya li kare aim, and therefore the milk of a Shchuta, you're not Chayiv Alts Basar B'Chalav, because a Shchuta can't give birth. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger wanted to show from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the father is called a father even in pregnancy, and the same would apply to a mother, that even in pregnancy a mother is called a mother. So even though the Trefa can't be Yoledes, maybe the trefa can be pregnant, and therefore it's Ru'uya Hikaros aim. Because it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and of Samach Tesamar Aleph that the Ben Sora Mora is only 3 months from 13 until 13 and 3 months, says Ben Sora Mora Veloha Roy Lakroso of. In other words, after 3 months, you're already able to call him a father, because the ubar is nicker, and because you can already see the ubar after 3 months, the woman starts showing after 3 months. So this Ben Sora Amore, after 3 months, is already royally kareyav after 3 months, because the baby is showing. So you see that the father is the father. If someone is called a father royally kareyav, when is he ready royally kareyav? Already b'shas ha'ibur, which the Gemara says that after 3 months, so the ubar is recognizable. So Akopanim, you see that from the time the ubar is recognizable, he is roili kare av. So the ben sora more is not roili kare av. So until 3 months, he's not considered a ben sora more. Until 3 months, he's considered a ben sora more. After that, he's already royally kareyav, because the fetus is recognizable. He's not called a ben sora more, because he's already not a ben. He's already considered an av. Al kopanim, you see from this Gemara in Sanhedrin that fatherhood is determined at the time of pregnancy. So the Rabbi Kiva Eiger wanted to say that motherhood is also determined at the time of pregnancy. Father and so too mother. And if that's the case, so then let's say the same thing about the animal, that what determines motherhood is not the giving birth, but just the pregnancy. And I'm assuming that Rabbi Kivega there says, without having seen it, that the trefa is ruya to be pregnant, but not not to give birth. So since it's ruya to be pregnant, and we see that av is called an av when the woman is pregnant, we'll say the same thing about an aim, and therefore what determines everything is the is not the actual birth. Is what determines the ability to be called a mother is not the actual birth, but just merely the pregnancy. Fract Rabbi Yosef Engel, if we're going to equate the geder of aim in an Adam and a Behema, so then we're going to have to learn the opposite, because in Megillah we see that there's a difference between an Av and an Aim, because we see that an Av is not Bishas Ibur, but Aim is Bishas Leida, and therefore a Trefa, who is Eina Yoledis, is not Ru'uya Lehikaros Aim, and therefore there would be no Basar, Isser of Basar B'chalaf, which is not really Karos Aim, and not like Rabbi Kev Hager wanted to say that a father is right to be a father at the time of pregnancy, so to a mother, and let's say the same thing about the animal. So we see not like that from Rashi. We see from Rashi that one is a mother worthy of being called a mother. We see from Rashi and Megillah already at the time of pregnancy, and not at the time, only at the time of birth, and not at the time of pregnancy. Now there's a kashya in the Rishonim and the Rambam who says that if somebody's mekadesh an ubar through her father, she is mekudeshes. So the Rishonim ask on the Rambam, who says that if you're mekadesh an ubar through her father, this ubar, this fetus, is mekudeshes. If that's the case, then you'll see that there's an instance where a mother-in-law is doing miun. Miun is where a ktana is miskadeshes. And before she reaches adulthood, she refuses this kiddushin. This katana, who's miskadeshes through her mother, or brothers, so she wants to do, this katana is doing miun. And we have a rule. So if that's the case, that you can be Makadish and Uber through her father, if you're Makadish and Uber through her father, she's Mekudeshes, then we're going to find that a mother-in-law is doing Miyun, because the Rambam holds that a Ketana can get pregnant. And if we say that Kedushin is Tofes Be'Uber, so it comes out that if somebody is Makadish an Uber in the womb of a Ketana, because a Ketana can have an Uber, the mother of the Uber is the mother-in-law. How's the mother of the Uber the mother-in-law? Because somebody's Mekadesh this Uber. So whoever this man is who's being Mekadesh this Uber, the woman holding the Uber, who could be Ketana according to the Rambam, is the mother-in-law of this man. So she's a mother-in-law, and she's also a Bas Miyun. She's still at the age that she can do Miyun, that she can refuse her Dirabanan Dika marriage, because she's still a Ketana. And we have a Mishnah in Yevamos, the beginning of Yevamos, that we don't find that a mother-in-law is allowed to do Miyun. So this is a Kasha that the Magid Mishnah in Ishus, Beis Tos, and then Nemukah Yos at the beginning of Yevamos, ask in the Rambam, that if you're Mekadesh and Uber al Yedei Avia, then like the Rambam says you can, then our mother-in-law is going to be able to do a miyun. You can have a mother-in-law as a ketana, because this ketana is going to be pregnant, and if this ketana is pregnant, and this ketana is not only a ketana who's pregnant, she's a ketana who's pregnant with a married uber, so that makes her a mother-in-law. So this mother-in-law, this 10-year-old mother-in-law, is going to be able to do a miyun, because she's only 10 years old, so if her marriage, she's allowed to do a miyun on. And the Mishnah says in Yevamos that and there's no miyun, that a mother-in-law can't do miyun. And here we have a case where a mother-in-law can't do miyun. So based on what we said, it's not a kasha. Why? Because she's not considered a mother yet. She's only considered a mother-in-law if she's considered the mother of the fetus. But when she's only pregnant, according to what we're saying, it's gevaldik. When she's only pregnant, she's not considered a mother. And therefore, you are not going to have a ketana doing yibum. Just to make things a little bit more clear, for those who don't know the Mishnah in Yevamos, it says in the beginning of Yevamos that chameshesrei nashim potros sarusayim, that 15 women exempt their co-wives, 15 possible arayos, each of whom, if her husband died will go into a yibum situation with a man who is usser to her. So she is pater from yibum, and her tsaras, her co-wives, are also. So one example of this is a man's mother-in-law. A man's mother-in-law was widowed, and then this mother-in-law married this man's brother. Then the brother dies without children, and now the mother-in-law should fall before the son-in-law for yibum. But she's usser, because the mother-in-law is usser to a son-in-law. And therefore she's ptura from yibum, and her tsara is ptura from yibum. And then later on in the Mishnah, it says, V'iyata yachal omer b'chamoso, you cannot say about one's mother-in-law. Oh, and then later on in the Mishnah it says, before we get to that, V'kulam imesu, if any of these 15 women had once been married to the Yavin's brother and died before he did, oh mianu, or if they did miyun, so then they did miyun, so they're no longer married to this brother, and then he died, so their tsaros are mutter. But you can't say that a mother-in-law did miyun. A mother-in-law couldn't have done, you can't have a case where the mother-in-law did yibum. And our kash on that was, according to the Rambam, what do you mean you can't find a case of a mother-in-law who did miyun? Because the mother-in-law can't, how do you have a mother-in-law did yibum? According to the Rashi, a mother-in-law can't do miyun because if she's a ketana, if she's doing miyun, it means she's a ketana, and a ketana can't give birth. But according to the Rambam, that a ketana can get pregnant, so then you can have a mother-in-law who's a ketana, because a ketana can get pregnant. And how is she a mother-in-law? Because somebody was mekadesh her ubar through her father. So you have a ketana who's pregnant, and then her child, her fetus, has a husband. So that means that's how she becomes a mother-in-law who's pregnant. She's a ketana who's pregnant, and then she has a, and then her uvar is miskadeshes. So then you would have a case, and then say she's only married midrabanan, so she's going to be able to do miyun. So you're going to have a case where a ketana, where a mother-in-law is able to do miyun because she's still a ketana. And the Mishnah says that you can't have a case of a mother-in-law who's doing miyun. So how does the Rambam explain that? The answer is because the Rambam is going to hold very simply that at the time of Ibor, she's not considered a mother yet. She hasn't given birth. The Ketana is not giving birth. The Ketana is just pregnant. And at the time of Herayon, time of Ibor, she's not yet considered a mother, like we proved from Rashi. She's only considered a mother at birth. Al Kopanim, we move forward. That was just a nice little side point. We wanted to prove from the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Sadi Zayin, Sadi Ches, that if you have two twin brothers who were Gerim, that they were conceived as Gayim, and then they were born as Jews, their mother converted in the interim, they are not doing chalitza and yibum, because as far as the father is concerned, they don't have the same fathers. So they're not considered brothers as far as that, but they are aser mishum eshesach, as far as they're not allowed to marry each other's wives, because else their mother, they are considered brothers. So how are they considered brothers outs their mother? If you say that we could determine motherhood at the time of Yitzira, then hey, in the interim they were misgayer and ger kukish and misgayer kudshin oladami, and they're not related to their mother anymore. But if you consider them at the time of Leda, at the actual time of birth, that's when you determine who the mother is and that they're brothers. So it's kevaldik, because at the time of birth they were in fact born to a Jewish woman and they are brothers. So we prove that b'shas Leda they're brothers, and we said that's akasha on the Das Zakenim and the Moshe Zakenim and the Tur, because they hold that the Shas Yitzir is koveya. So some Achronim say the Pshat and the Gemara is that they're considered brothers because we go after the Shas Leda. The Shas Leda, they're born to a Jewish woman and they're brothers. However, it's not Pashat at all, because the Pashas of numerous Rishonim is the opposite way, because we see in Rashi there in Daf Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, in Dibor Maschil Daha Da Amor, in Dibor Maschil Lotem, in Dibor Maschil Daha, regarding that, that it says over there that these brothers aren't considered related through the father, because Rachmana Afgre Lazara Deviam Hagoy, Yakarish Baruch was Mafgir the Zer of a Goy, as it says, Zir Mas Susim Zir Masam. Kadosh Baruch was Mafgir the Zer of a Goy. So it's not considered their father because they have a Goyish father. And because of that, we need. Why do we need this reason? With this reason of a Kadosh Baruch was Mafgir the Zer of the father to say they don't have a father. Why don't we say Pashut that Gershon is Gar Kadosh and Ola Damin in the fourth month? They were Mizgayer, and therefore they're not related to their father. Why do we have to come on to the fact that they don't have a father? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mafkir Zara Shel Goy. And the reason is because, explain the Rishonim, that when the conception was Shelo B'Kedusha's Goyim, and the Leida was B'Kedusha, we can't say K'katan Shenolad. Why? What's the Raya we can't say K'katan Shenolad? Because they're related through the mother. If we would say Kekatan Shenolad, they wouldn't be related through the mother. That's Rashi says, the Ritva, the Ran, and Reb Avram in Ahar. So we have to understand why you can't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami about these fetuses. However, we can hear from Rashi that the relationship between these two siblings is already established to their mother and to each other at the time of Yetzirah and not at the time of Leida. And therefore, from the fact that they are considered brothers from the mother, it proves that we can't say Gershon is Gar Kekatan Shenolad Dami, because when did we can make them brothers? At the time of Yetzirah. When did they convert? Let's say in the fourth month. And from the fact that they're considered brothers, it must be we can't say Gershon is Gar Kekatan Shenolad Dami, otherwise they wouldn't be related to their mother, because after the Shas Yetzirah they were converted. So that makes a lot of sense, Rashi's pshat, if Rashi's learning that they are considered brothers, b'shas yitzira, and therefore it's mukhafor in the fact that they're still considered brothers even after the conversion, that we don't say gershon is karkat shenola dami. But if we hold that the shas leida determines their brotherhood, so what's the raya that we don't say gershon is karkat shenola dami about an ubar? It's very simple. They were conceived. 4 months later, their mother converted. They were converted. They're Kekatan Shenolad Dami. But later, they started again. But when is it determined that they're brothers? At the time of birth. So it could be that you do say about a fetus, Gershon is Gar Kekatan Shenolad Dami. And Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says from the fact that they're related through the mother, it must be we can't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami. What's the problem? Say Kekatan Shenolad Dami, and they were related through the mother because they were born from her after the Geirus, and that's when she was made into their mother. But Rashi says no. Rashi says from the fact that they're considered related, it must be we don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami. So it must be that Rashi's learning the Shas Yetzirah's Koveya, and then 4 months later when there was a conversion, the conversion is meaningless as far as Kekatan Shenolad Dami, and they're still considered brothers. So it must be we don't say Gershon Iskar Kekatan Shenolad Dami because B'Shas Yetzirah was Koveya, that moment. Then, afterwards, there was a conversion, but from the fact that they're still related to the mother, it must be, we don't say Gershon is Garkot Shenolad Dami, but if you would learn otherwise, if you would learn that the Shas Leidus Kovei, there's no Rai at all, you don't say Garkot Shenolad Dami, it could be Kot Shenolad Dami, but that doesn't affect the fact that they're related through the mother. They're related through the mother because they were born from the mother. Rashi says, no, you can prove from here about an Uber, you don't say the Kot Shenolad Dami. That in this Horasa Shibug Shlo B'Kedusha and Leidasa B'Kedusha, you don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami. Because they're still related through the mother. So it must be Rashi's again learning that the Shas Yetzirah is Koveya, that they're considered from their mother is their mother, and you don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami in the Mela. When the mother converted with the children at the fourth month, they are not considered like they're starting again and not related to the mother. Rather, they're still related to the mother despite the Geirus. But that's only if you're learning that Shas Yetzirah is Koveya, and that's how, in fact, Rashi is learning. So now we don't have a kasha anymore on the Balei HaTosfos and the Tur. Because Adarab, from Rashi and other Rishonim, we see that the Yetzirah is Koveya, the relationship of the mother to the children, and and they're still considered brothers because we don't say Kakatan Shinolad when they do Gerus. And now we understand that Shimon and Dina are not siblings, because when was the Shas Yetzirah of Dina? In the womb of Rachel. And when was the Shas and Shimon? In the womb of Leah. So Mamela, they have different mothers, even though they're the same birth mother, but their Shas Yetzirah mother is different, and therefore they were mutter to each other. But Hagufa Tzarech Biur, why don't we say Gershon is Gayer, Kekatan Shenolad Dami? Sof, there was Gerus when they were fetuses. We see in the Gemara in Yevamos in Daf Ayin Ches that a Goyish, a woman who is pregnant, and then she becomes a Giyores, her son does not need Tevila. Asks the Gemara that according to the Man D'Omar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imo, how come the mother does not constitute a chatzitza between the fetus and the water? If you say Uber is Yerechimo, then the Uber is part of the mother. Uber is part of the mother's thigh. It's a good tefillah. It's part of the woman's body. There's no chatzitza between the woman and her kidneys, even though the water isn't hitting the kidneys. It's part of her body. So it's not a chatzitza. But if you say Uber lav Yerechimo, it's not part of her body. So then how do you say that it's a geiris for the child? Aye, there's a chatzitza. And the Gemara answers, Haini Rabbi said, that's the way the child is raised in there, and therefore it's not considered a chatzitza. So we see from this Gemara al kolpanim that the Ubar needs tefilas gerus and isn't becoming a Jew just because his mother is becoming a Jewess. It says in the Gemara that the Ubar needs gerus. Just if the nachris muberis is misgayeres, the child doesn't need tefila because the mother's tefila works for him, but he's becoming a ger. So if you see that a fetus needs gerus, even though he doesn't need the tefillah, he's getting the tefillah, doesn't need a new tefillah when he's born, but because the tefillah already worked when he was a fetus, you see that he needs gerus. So why then don't you say kekatan shenolad, he's starting again, and he's no longer related to the mother? If you're learning the Shas Yetzirah's Kovas, after the Shas Yetzirah, he became a ger, and him becoming a ger separates him from his mother. And we say we don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami, and the question is why not? So Shmuel Rizovsky in his Shiurim on Ksubis and Daf Yutches and Simen Yud Aleph, answers based on Tosus and Ksubis. Correct me again, in Daf Yud Aleph and Ksubis. So based on Tosfos there, that ger katan matbilim oto al das beisdin, that a ger katan, you're only putting him in mikvah al das beisdin. That's a din derabbanan. That ger katan matbilim oto al das beisdin is only a din derabbanan. Because zchia is mitam shlichus, and there's no shlichus neither for a katan nor for a goy, and memela this ger katan that your matbil also das based in is only the rabbanan daraisa. It's nothing, because zchia is mitam shlichus, and there's no shlichus for a goy and a katan. This person is a goy and a katan. So how does ger katan work? It works the rabbanan. Frek tells us from the Sugya in Sanhedrin that it's mitzamaches, that it's muchach that there's a ger katan even mi de oraisa. So how can Tosus say that here the ger katan is only midrabbanan? Tosus answers that we find this case where you have a meuberes that became a giores, that her son is a ger min haTorah because he's a complete Jew. So normally a ger katan is midrabbanan, but you have a case of ger katan being min haTorah if she's a meuberes shen is gaira, that her son is a ger min haTorah, her son is a Yisrael Gamur. Frekt Rabbi Kiva Eger from the Gemara in Yevamos that a fetus also requires a tefillah of gerus, and since the fetus also requires the tefillah of gerus, we go back to our case of ger katan. This woman needs to do zechia for this child, and therefore how again do you have a case of a ger katan min haTorah, because every ger katan, including a fetus, needs zechiyah, needs someone else to be mezakeh them. They don't have das to do it themselves, so they need zechiyah. So this ubar also needs zechiyah. Zechiyah is bitam shlichus, is no shlichus for a katan a goy. So again, how do you have a ger katan midaraisa? So some wanted to answer, like the Beis Yankiv and others, that Tosas, we're only talking about the man, according to the Man Dharma, that Ubar is Yerech Imo. If Ubar is Yerech Imo, then the child doesn't need Geres himself. So then, in Achinam, that's what Tosas means, that if you have a Muberis, that was Mizgeres, your son is a Geremen HaTorah, because the child doesn't need Geres itself, the child is Pashit part of the mother. So that's how the child is a Geremen HaTorah. However, Tosas Rush says that we're talking about a case of according to the Mandi Omar, that Uber is Lav Yerech Imo. So if Uber is Lav Yerech Imo, that means the Uber requires Gerus. So how then do you have a Ger Katan Min HaTorah? So there are a number of Mahalchim to explain this. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says one Mahalach, that Tosfos hold that the Chalos Gerus and the Maisach Nasa Liyadus is not done on the child, it's done on the mother. And Mikoach Ha'em, the Gerus is activated in the child. So the Maisa Tevila has to be done for the fetus independently, as fetus, but the Iker Gerus is activated Mikoach, the mother. And therefore, there's not Torah Sechi and Shlichus for Geras Klape Ha'ubar. Because really, what's the Iker Geras here? If the Iker Geras was done for the child itself, like a regular Ger cut on a regular child, so there you need to come on to Zechiah. So that's only going to be Durabana. Because Minat Torah ain't Shlichus Lakat and Lagoy in Zechiah's Mitam Shlichus. But if you say that the Iker Geras is through the mother, and then the child is just brought along, so even though in fact the child needs Geirus, but since the Iker Geirus is activated Mikoach the mother, so there's not a Torah of Zechi and Shlichus for Geirus towards the Ubar. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel explained Rashi, that if you have two brothers who are fetuses, we don't say about them Kekatan Shenolad Dami, because their Geirus isn't inherent to them. They are not doing their own geirus. It's not a geirus atzmis. It's only a geirus through the mother, and memela, they are getting their mother's kedusha. So when do you say that kekatan shenolad dami, if the geirus is directly on them? But if the geirus is through the mother, then they don't have that status of kekatan shenolad dami. It's not a strong enough geirus. If we can express ourselves that way, that's not exactly Reb Shmuel's language, but the only time we say Kekatan Shenolad Dami is when it's a Geirus Atzmis. But if it's a Geirus through the mother, we don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami. And the explanation of the Gemara is also given by the Chazon Ish and Evin Ezer, Dalet Tes, and Rav Shach and his Avi Ezri. We seem to be going to Bnei Brak a lot. We have Reb Shmuel and the Chazon Ish and Rav Shach in Hilchos Esuri Bia, Yud Gimel Zayin, Yud Ches Gimel, that this Geirus of an Ubar is different than a Ger Katan, because it's not Mitoras Zechiah, it's just one Geirus with the mother. And Mikoyach, the Geirus of the mother, Geirus is also activated on the child. And Chazon Ish added that without the Geirus of the mother, so you couldn't even talk about a Geirus of an Uber, because the Torah only lets people, regular people, do Geirus and not fetuses. But since, or feti, I don't even know how to say that, but since the Iker Geirus is the mother, and the male of the child gets Geirus, so that enables the child to become a Geir. So according to the Man number of Uber, Lav Yerech Imo, the fetus needs its own tvila. So we're giving the fetus its tvila, the tvila it's getting, but the Iker Geirus, the Iker Chalos Geirus, is through the mother. And therefore we don't say Kekatan Shenolad Dami. Lefizeh, if you have a Meuberes that became a Giores, when the child gets older, this child can't do mecha. We know that normally a ger katan can do mecha. He's allowed to protest and say, no, I don't want to be a ger, and then he goes back to being a Jew. But since here the ikar gerus is done through the mother, the child doesn't have that option. Only when the gerus is atzmus to the child they have that option, but not when it's done through the mother. So that's not like the Avnei Miluim in Simanim Dalet and Yud Gimel. So writes the Avi Ezri, and also Rav Shmuel is done in the Suffolk of the Dogul Me Revovo about a Meuberes that's Mizgayeres, and we didn't know that she was Meuberes. So that's not Ma'akev, the Geiris of the Ubar, because the Ubar doesn't need a Chalois Geiris and a Maisa Hachnas Eliyadus Mitzad Atzmo. It's done automatically because he's Mizgayer Agav Imo. Just we need a Maisa Tvila. So that's the suffix of the Dagul Meiravava, a Muberes that was Mizgayeris, and we didn't know that she is Muberes. Does it work? So if we say that it's only Agav the mother, then it would work, because for the mother you do have Kavana to do Geiris. So according to this we can say, and it's Mefurish like that in the Yezri, that really the relationship to the mother is established at the time of Yetzira, not at the time of Leda. But we don't say Kekatan Shenolad Adami Legabe Ha'em, because he doesn't have Geiris for himself. And therefore, they are considered, these twins are considered like brothers from the mother, because they are brothers from the pregnancy, and becoming a new person in the middle of a pregnancy doesn't change things, because they're not so new themselves. They didn't have a direct gerus. It was only through their mother. And therefore you could say Gevaldik, so their mother is a new person, but they're not detached from their mother, because their newness is only drawn along from their mother. So that doesn't separate them from their mother. They're connected to their mother. Whole gerus was through their mother. So male, they're still connected to their mother, and they're still connected to each other, and Shalom al Israel. And this possibly is also the Pshat in Rabbi Avram ben Ahar, that we don't talk about an Ubar, say about an Ubar that it's Kekatan Shenolad, da Iu Lon is Gair, because he didn't do Geiris. Aye, the Gemara is Mefurish that an Ubar is also Mizgair. So the answer is that there's no Chalos Geiris Atzmis in the Ubar, it is only activated Mikoach, the Geiris of his mother. That is a possibility in the Rabbi Avram ben Ahar. So we should emphasize that the Chazon Ish and the Avi Ezri only wrote this explaining the Gemara, that it's not considered a Geiris Atzmus of the blood, it's of the Vlad, it's only the Geiris of the Aim, and that's Matpis and the Ubar, the Kedusha of their mother, and therefore they're considered brothers from the mother. However, Shmuel adds that that's Pshat in Rashi, that we don't say Katan Shenolad, not only Legabe the Aim, we don't even say Katan Shenolad Legabe the Av. They're not even considered new vis-a-vis their father. By the father we say Zirmas Susim Zirmasam. That's why he's not their father. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mafkir Zahar Shel Goy. But we don't say that they're not considered the child of the father because of Katan Shenolad. Why not? Sof. Why isn't the Geiris that through their mother make them a Katan Shenolad Klape the father? Klape the mother, I understand, because they don't have a Geiris Atzmit, it's not in themselves, so they're not separated from their mother. They're not Katan Shenolad by their mother, because their whole Geiris is through their mother. So it's everybody becoming new together, it's one newness, so they're still connected to each other and their mother. But out's the father, they're new, so it's Katan Shenolad. So how does Reb Shmuel learn? So the answer is that Reb Shmuel holds that only Geiris that's done bigufo makes a din of Katan Shenolad, and not Geirus that's done automatically because of a Maisa Geirus of others. So therefore, according to the Chazon Ish and Avi Ezri, you can say Pashat that they're becoming new together with their mother. And according to Rav Shmuel, you could say no, they're not even becoming new. Because if they're coming new, well, it's their mother, so then they're still related to their mother, but they're no longer related to their father. But if you say that they're becoming new, that they're not even... If you say that they're becoming new, else their mother not regarding their father, regarding their father, you can say concussion all adam, and that's not why they're not related to their father. But if you say even in, but if you say that they're not even considered a katan shenola dummy klape their father, so the question is why not? They're becoming new together with their mother, but that separates them from their father. So the answer is that it doesn't, the geirus through the mother doesn't have enough koach to even make them new. So they're not considered new at all. They're not considered katan shenola dummy at all, and therefore they're still related to their mother because they're not katan shenola dummy. And they're still related to their father because they're not katan shenola dummy. They're just not related to their father for a different reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu was mafkir the zera of a goy. And we have an example of this in the Maharal, also spoken about in the Pachad Yitzchak. This Maharal is brought in the Sheif Shmaitz in his Hakdama, Osios Ches and Tes, that we don't say at the Geiris of Matan Torah, Kekotan Shenol Adami, since this was a Geiris Bekfia. So you have certain Geirios that aren't considered Katan Shenolat. So one of them would be Geiris in the womb, and another one would be a Geiris Bekfia. So this is a very mechudish de kesvara, that geiris of ubrin doesn't make a din of katan shenolad, just like the geiris of Matan Torah didn't give a din of katan shenolad. Okay, so we move on. So we can still ask the kasha that from the pashas of the Sugi Yevamos, it's mashma, that this din is also said by a shifcha kanainis mu'uberes, that was mishtachreres, and she was toveles to become a fully Jewish woman. So bishlema, if you say that it's the birth that determines who the mother is, so if this woman who has twins inside of her, this Shivcha Kanainis, her children are going to be considered brothers from the mother, since they were born to the mother when she was a Yisraelis. Because who cares what happened at the time of Yitzira? She was a Goya, she was a Shivcha, it doesn't matter. When they were born, she was a Yisraelis. But according to what we're saying, that really we follow the Yetzirah, just that the Geiris of Ubrim doesn't create a din of Katan Shenolad, it's Shver, because a Eved doesn't have Chayis. An Eved doesn't have Yichus, like it says in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis, that if a person had Banim Be'avduso, and then he was released, he isn't Mekayim Piri of Arivia, because he doesn't have any relationship at all to his children. Unlike a Goy, who does have a Yachas to his children, as it says, Baladin ben Baladin, so the Goy does have Yachas, which is not an Evet. So if that's the case, why are the twins of a Shivcha, who became Jewish, considered brothers if we say that the Shas Yitzira is Kovaz? They have no relationship to their mother at all. So ein hachinami. Don't say that they're any different than their mother. Don't say kakatan shenola dami, but they're not related to their mother in the first place, because the shas yitzira is kovei, and b'shas yitzira they were from a shifcha. And they don't have any chai, so how are they considered brothers if they don't have the same mother? They're not related to the same mother. So we have to say, like Rav Shmuel says, back to Bnei Brak, Yevama Simon Yitzayin, that this opinion is holding, like the Chiddush of the Turei Evan at the beginning of Chagiga, that Dafka, an Eved, doesn't have Yachas to his children, but a Shivcha Kanainis does have Yachas to her children, as it says, Ha'ishat v'yeladeha t'yeladonev v'yetzei b'gapo, they are nigrarim after her, because they do have yachas to her. And the Minchas Chinuch was cholek on this chiddush. However, there is a raya from Rashi, like the Turei Evan, who explains in Yavam Sedav Chav Gimel, that we say that a shivcha doesn't have chayis, that's only to her father. So Rashi said that bedafka, because the fact that she doesn't have chayis, it's to her father, but her children do have yachas to her. Rashi says in Kedushin Samach Tes, the Hod the Ein Levit Chayis is because of Am Hadom Alechamor, Shulachem Poim Alechamor, Am Hadom Alechamor, and there's no Chayis by Avadim, like the Gemara Darshans. So Rashi says, like a behema, that the child doesn't follow the father, but it's mashma that the mother they do follow. So Mimela, an Evit does have a child of a Shivcha, is related to his mother. So there's actually quite a bit more to discuss on this sugya, and b'siyata d'shmaya b'irtzos Hashem darkeinu, we will hopefully continue this year. In the meantime, I think there's quite a bit for you to swallow. We just basically discussed the question of, is the Leida Kovas or is the Yetzira Kovas? We saw Tutzdadim, and we said that in order to be Miyashev, the Rishonim, who explain how Shimon could marry Dina, we have to say that the Yetzira, the Shas Yetzira's Kovas and B'Shas Yetzira, they had different mothers. So you should all be Zotah Meis Hashem, Lil Modu Lelamed, Lishmor Velasos, Wolakayim is called Divrei Samot Torah, Sabihava, Amen, V'Amen, Shalom, Shalom, sweetest friends.